Well, horse racing, often in the spotlight, but probably for the wrong reasons in recent days. That bizarre incident at Morphettville in South Australia last weekend. Josh Cartwright, the man involved in that. And it hasn't been a great few days for the Cartwright family, with his sister, Georgina Cartwright, now in trouble with the stewards. We're going to talk to Herald Sun Racing journo Matt Stewart about it. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Rowan.
It's a very tangled web, should I say. Can you just take people that aren't familiar with the story through the various components of this imbroglio involving the Cartwright family?
Yeah, and the girlfriend of Josh Cartwright as well. Yeah. It's just a fascinating timeline of what's happened. Anna Jorgensen, struggled with her surname. She's a Norwegian jockey who's been riding in Adelaide for the last year or so. His girlfriend, who rode the winner of the race at Morphettville last Saturday, she had a track fall at Morphettville yesterday morning when a fox ran in front of her, and she was taken to hospital with a few abrasions and released, and she wasn't able to ride at Morphettville that day. And that was the day when she was going to be greeted by a throng of media who were so captured by this story and what's going on behind, what may have gone on behind the scenes, and what may have led to her boyfriend's act in that last race, where he speared into the pathway of two other horses. And then later that day, his sister Georgina, and this is not a slight on Georgina at all, I mean, there's been a lot of backlash to the story in the Herald Sunday, even noting the fact that she was suspended for careless riding. But the gist of those stories, as you know, is that it's just a sequence of events involving the same cast of people. And this is his sister who copped 14 meetings for taking a gap that wasn't there and got squeezed out, and the stewards deemed that she shouldn't have gone there in the first place. So, this is just part of this ongoing saga and the mystery of Josh Cartwright's actions at Morphettville. And his sister got rolled for careless riding, and his girlfriend fell off a horse when a fox ran in its path the day she was going to be thrust into a very unfamiliar spotlight at the races, with people desperate to find out some more information about this unbelievable story.
You couldn't script a conflation of events like that, really, could you? And the unlikely nature of them.
Exactly right. And now I think there's a sensible shift from the shock and anger at what Josh Cartwright did, to trying to work out what was in his head and what angles the stewards might be pursuing that may have led to it, and concern over his welfare now too. Deep concern about his mental welfare and what he might do. He's a kid with a dark streak. He could be moody, and apparently he was in a bit of a bad place on the day. Those who were there on the day on Saturday said he was a bit surly and a bit mopey. His girlfriend was involved in an incident earlier in the day where she got shut out, and he's deeply devoted to her, and that there may have been an issue with concern about her and just swirling aspects of his own life that were going on, and whether his commitment to the saddle after wasting for so many years and hadn't eaten for 2 days. Maybe there was just a combination of factors that, and there's a suggestion of, was there something else going on as to why he knocked those two horses down to ensure that his girlfriend won the race? That was a horse that he'd ridden at its previous start against the two horses that he slammed into at Morphettville that day. That was on December 31. So there's so many possible threads to the story. There's suggestions that there may have been a significant wager on the winner.
Yeah.
And all sorts of things. And I know that the stewards have gone through phone records, betting records, done as much as they can to turn it upside down. And whether that will come to anything, we may never know what the root cause of all this was.
Well, he's pleaded guilty to the reckless riding charge, stood down from all riding activity pending a penalty hearing. And that's going to be a very... the stewards are put in a really invidious position here, aren't they? Because I think everyone's thoughts initially were, gee, there's some skullduggery going on. But now, as you mentioned, the spectre of the mental health issues really casts it in a different light. And I don't envy being the stewards trying to determine what sort of penalty he faces.
I think the simplicity of the penalty is a reflection of the dramatic act itself. And I wasn't around, but obviously the most legendary incident similar was Mel Shoemaker tugging the leg of a rival jockey in the Derby in Sydney 50 years ago, and he got life, which was reduced to 5 years on penalty. Josh was very keen to make the transition to horse breaking and training from riding. And if he gets a life sentence for the riding incident, does it impact on his ability to train horses or work with horses? The penalty will be career crushing, whether it's 5 years or 10 years or life, because there's no alternative. The stewards have got very little wriggle room sympathetically towards Josh Cartwright, regardless of his mental state. They still have to penalise the incident, and that was very clear cut. So, there's a lot of backdrop here, and a lot of it will put context into the irrational nature of what he did, but none of it's going to take away from the fact that he did it.
Has there been much, has the horse racing scene sort of witnessed much of a discussion over recent years about that whole issue of mental health? Because we've seen it. We're just talking to Steve Salisbury about American sport and domestic violence, but, you know, suicides and mental issues there. We've seen it be a huge factor in AFL football. Those issues seem to be presenting themselves in every sport. Has it been part of the racing discussion generally?
In recent times it has. Yeah. Whether the discussion translates into meaningful help is another thing. There's a lot of talk. I remember Lee Friedman penned a first-person column in the Herald Sun a couple of years ago talking about his black dog depression and alcoholism at the time and all these sorts of things, and it was a bit of an enlightening article, and John Sadler's had issues with depression. A lot of the jockeys, pressure on young apprentice jockeys to fulfil engagements, then that's created a new set of rules as far as how often they can ride and working and waking hours and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, there is an awareness of it, because it's just there's a sort of a Dickensian way that racing conducted itself, where it was just accepted that you slugged your guts out from 3 a.m. until whenever, and that you lived in a parallel world to the rest of the world where they lived normal lives and you didn't, and you fell asleep over your entree at a restaurant because you're so tired and all that sort of stuff. So I sort of kind of accepted as that was the career you're in, but I think that the modern world has said, no, racing needs to set reasonable parameters, because there's another generation that will come after this one who is going to expect to be training horses in daylight hours and all sorts of things and spending time with family. So, yeah, there's an increased awareness of the stress that racing people are under, and I think this Josh Cartwright case is, as much as there's speculation of very basic things like was there a bet and was there this and that, I think the biggest theme that will come out of this will be an insight into someone's state of mind.
And jockeys particularly, you make a very good point. I remember growing up as a kid and seeing jockeys interviewed on World of Sport, and they were so deferential to trainers and owners and, you know, address them as, you know, Mr. Cummings and Mr. Smith. And, you know, jockeys have become bigger celebrities, I suppose, on the sporting stage, but it is still very much a master-servant sort of type relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, I always find it amusing these days when the jockey who's worth $30 million is in the stewards inquiry talking to the chief steward who's on $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Very good of a sir. So there is a strange, like, I remember the footage you were talking about, all those emaciated jockeys of the 1940s and 50s. You know, they were servants, basically.
Yeah.
And there was prize money was minimal. A lot of them died broke, you know, and all that sort of stuff. There's a better, more prize money and better earning opportunities for the top jockeys these days, but the fact that they risk their lives every day, every time they get out of bed, can sometimes put them in an interesting place about how they'll roll the dice in life and what risks they may take and so on. So I would guess that there's an element of all of that with the Josh Cartwright case.
Well, it's a very interesting story, and a lot of people who I dare say aren't probably that interested in racing as a rule following this one, where you await the result with interest. Thanks for your time, man.
Good on you, right?